We're going to look this morning, look into John chapter 15, starting with the first 5 verses. We may go a little further, depending on how our time runs, but that's what we're going to be keying in on, the first 5 verses of chapter 15 of John. Would somebody like to read that first verse, or we can read the first 5 verses?
All
right.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me as I in you, you will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing.
Amen. Okay. Now, we know that fruit is good to eat. Is one of the blessings of the Lord. He had plenty of fruit in the Garden of Eden, and we still have fruit trees and bushes today, and they are very profitable and nourishing for the individual body. And when you go through an orchard or through a vineyard, you will tend to see at certain times of the year a bunch of branches that will be laid around on the ground or piled up somewhere from where who's ever taking care of the particular orchard or the vineyard has pruned the branches and cut off the unnecessary ones. And that's a very important thing to be done, because it aids in the growth and reproduction, the further reproduction of the fruit. So we need to have that done. And good morning. How y'all doing? We are in John chapter 15, verses 1-5, just starting out. And we're talking about Jesus saying that he was the vine and we are the branches. And we're John 15,
okay.
First 5 verses. Now, in the time of, in biblical times, in the era of Jesus and thereafter, they were quite familiar with the vines, the orchards. They had apples, grapes, pears, and dates, all kinds of fruits. And they ate them plentifully. And, of course, they made much wine, because wine was a common drink, not so much as because they were drinking it to get intoxicated, but they were drinking it because of the place where they lived. It helped to cleanse out their stomach, to kill the bacteria that they had, because they didn't have a very good, they didn't have a very good water system. I don't know the best way to put it, but, you know. Right, yes, sanitary system, and their waters, it was needed a lot to be left a lot to be lacking, and it wasn't uncommon for people to get indigestion, not just indigestion, bacteria in their stomach, and of course with cooking of food, it would affect that also. So there was a common thing to see vines, vineyards, and orchards during that time, and they were pretty well familiar with the process of pruning and other things that needed to be done to make the fruit be a tree or vine to be productive. Now, Let's look at Psalms. Psalms number 80. Psalms 80 verses 8 through 19. Can someone pull that up?
80, Psalms 80, verses 8 through 19. 8 through 19. Mm-hmm. You have brought a vine out of Egypt. You have cast out the nations and planted it. You prepared room for it and caused it to take deep root. And it filled the land. The hills were covered with its shadow. And the mighty cedars with its boughs. She sent out her boughs to the sea and her branches to the river. Why, you have broken down their hedges so that all you pass by the way pluck her fruit? Wait, let me do that one again. Mm-hmm. Why have you broken down her hedges so that all who pass by the way pluck her fruit? The boar out of the woods uproots it, and the wild beast of the field devours it. Return, we beseech you, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see, and visit this vine, and the vineyard which your right hand has planted, and the branch that you made strong for yourself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of your countenance. Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand, upon the son of man, whom you made strong with yourself.
Okay.
Then we will not turn back from you. Revive us, and we will call upon your name.
Go to the last one, 219.
Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved.
Okay. Now, we see here in this, in these scriptures, Israel is referred to as a branch. As in biblical times, when Christ spoke, and a lot of the prophets, they spoke in a figurative speech using certain things as an example to other things. And in this instance, they are likening Israel to being a branch. But this was not a branch that was profitable to God. It wasn't serving God the way that he wanted them to. As we can see, they weren't doing the things that God wanted them to do. So they were not bearing fruit as they were supposed to. Now, we also have a couple of other scriptures from other prophets that also relates to some of the same thing. Can someone look up Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21? And someone get Isaiah chapter 5, verse 7. And one more, Hosea chapter 10, verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 7. And Hosea, chapter 10, verse 1.
I got Jeremiah.
Okay.
I have planted you like a choice vine of sound and reliable stock. How then did you turn against me into a corrupt and wild vine?
All right. Someone got Isaiah? Isaiah, chapter 5, verse 7. Okay.
For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his present plant. He looks for justice, but behold oppression.
Okay.
And righteousness, but behold a cry for help.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hosea chapter 10, verse 1. Someone has that.
10:1.
Okay.
Israel empties his vine. He brings forth fruit for himself according to the multitude of his fruit. he has increased the altars according to the bounty of his name. They have embellished his sacred pillars.
Just verse one. That's okay. Good. Okay. So we can see from these three how the prophets have used or related to Israel as being a vine or branch, but was not profitable to God by not doing what God wanted to do. They turned away from God. And this is, the saying is speaking figuratively, using the examples of agriculture and the examples of trees and plants and vines to relate to people. This is a term so that the people of that day could understand more clearly of what was being said and the purpose of what things were being done. Now, when Jesus says, "I am the true vine," he himself is speaking figuratively, but he is speaking a little bit different than, I mean, he's using this as an example, but his example of him being a vine is a little bit different of what was already mentioned before. And when he says he is the vine, he is the one that gives life and nourishment to the branches. That is one figure. Yes.
I was going to say, the reason why vines were pruned is because if you didn't prune it, then the production of grapevines wouldn't be as great.
Mm-hmm.
So they pruned so all the strength would go to that one grapevine. So it would produce a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's us. Okay, but the stalk, the original stalk that was planted where all the strength comes from, that's Christ.
Right.
So it makes a lot of sense that he would use that metaphor for the people because they understood the whole process of why the pruning, why, you know, where the stock is and what the stock does for the people.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes a lot of sense that they would do that.
Right.
And when Jesus says, "I am the true vine," he's the true stock.
Yes.
From where that strength comes. So the same goes today for our congregations.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't prune and weed out the arrows that we have, then the congregation can weaken.
Yes.
And so we need to keep focusing on that true stock that where we originally get our learning from, Christ, and be able to prune the error out of our, which it makes a lot of sense.
Right. That's good. That's correct. Because we can't put too much emphasis on what is being pruned. And sometimes it looks like when you're pruning, you're almost cutting a bush or tree down to, you said, you cut too much, you know, but it's necessary because there's no point in it going to, as you said, the nourishment going to the pod that's not reaping, not reproducing or showing a benefit. Any other comments? Okay, and as I just said, that Jesus, when he said, "I am the true vine," he's the one that's providing the life and the nourishment to the rest of the branches. And we are the branches, as you just said. We, as the believers, at that time, the disciples of Jesus, and all of us that are supposed to bear the fruit, to go out and gather more Christians, as we deliver the message of the Lord to others, they in turn will turn from their way of living, and they too will be a branch. And the process will continue on. But if we're not bearing fruit, if we're not being fruitful and going out and doing that, then, of course, we're not reproducing. We're reproducing ourselves. And also in that, the third figure in that saying would be the gardener, which has an important job to do of pruning. The gardener is the representation of God with us, because he is the one that prunes us. Sometimes he has to cut away some stuff from us, maybe the way in which we're not living right, or some things that we're not doing properly, delivering the word, or properly being an example. He has to correct us, which is, that's a sense of pruning, where we stop doing what we are doing and change our way of life. We are also that example to other branches, new branches that we are trying to bring in as fruit. Let's look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. Anyone has it? Okay.
Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Okay. This is what we call the greatest command, and we are given this charge to go out and be the branch, to be, to do the work of reproducing the fruit. Yes.
The Father also with that being the gardener is his garden.
Yes. Yes.
We're producing for him.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're not doing what you just read, and you just read in Matthew,
mm-hmm.
we're not producing what the gardener wants. So what would a gardener do? He can get rid of those branches who are not producing good quality grapes or fruits and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same concept. This gardener, our Father, is going to make sure that his whole garden produces the way he wants. And if we're not producing the way we should, it's better for everybody else. Then we get pruned out of that process. There's things in our life. We should look at those things in our life that's holding back what our Father wants, what he wants in production.
Mm-hmm.
So often we think it's our garden.
No, oh, yeah.
We're the producer.
We want to do what we want to do. Yes.
Sometimes a branch might seem like it's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you say, you're not going to, like, totally whack it off.
Yeah, we cut off all the dead parts or something. Sometimes. And sometimes it needs to be cultivated around it, you know, to make it reproduce better. But the person that is the gardener, as you said, they know how to do that. And even though we may look at it as we cut too much, to me, if it looks dead, it's gone, you know. But as a person that knows a little bit about it or from experience, they would know how much to cut off so that the rest of it. And then sometimes you have to give it a chance to grow and see how it does. We as people have a lot of things that we have accustomed ourselves to doing. And we just get set into a habit, more or less, which is those are some of the harder habits that we have to learn to overcome and learn to break if we want to be followers of Christ. That's within ourselves. By the same token, we have to be the example to show others that go through the same thing that they can overcome. It's going to be hard, but it's a struggle, and they have help to be able to do it, and not just, well, I can't do it and just give up, you know. If you want to be a worker for Christ, if you want to bear fruit, do his will, then you'll be willing to make the change and make the sacrifice. And yes, it will be hard, but we keep at it, and we cut back a little bit, until we can keep on doing it. That's why he gives us the avenue of prayer to repent, because God knows we're going to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, some people think gardening is just planting the plant and giving a little bit of water and walking away. Every plant, depends on what it is, needs different nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
And as a gardener, you're supposed to know those nutrients that that plant needs. God knows what we need as individuals, where our struggles are at, and mm-hmm. what nutrients mm-hmm. we need. He gives us all the nutrients that we need mm-hmm. to be filled right
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm.
And so often we don't want to follow his nutrients. We was like, well, maybe I ought to put this in here.
Yeah.
And I think this one needs a hot lot of water. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of water. Y'all know the little plant, you can kill the plant.
Yes. I found that out.
The perfect nature that every one of us needs, we resist that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it's the core part. Christ always has all the nutrients. It's the branch who accepts the nutrients and not accepts the nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
That dies off because it's not pulling the nutrients it's supposed to be from. But it's that resistance. And we got to realize, we got to follow the gardener and take those nutrients for us to be effective, to mm-hmm. be able to produce good fruit,
mm-hmm. yeah.
not bad fruit, mm-hmm. but good fruit. And it's not as easy as people make it out to be the gardener, just plant the plant. And
that's true. I found that out. Not to detour from this, but it's always hard for me, and I see some people can do it. I haven't learned the trick yet how to do that. Is like somebody would have a flower or I don't know if they do it from a tree. I've only tried it with the flowers. But you can break off a piece of the flower and then you can start regrowing another flower. Then Beverly had a flower one time that she had gotten, I don't know what the name of it was, but it was some type of vine, because that thing ran and grew, and you had to loop it around stuff and make it go the way you wanted it to go. That was the only thing that I saw that grew well. But other parts, other things, like, you know, I've seen some other kind of flowers that I wanted to get, and people have given me pieces of it, and I put it in water, and it looked like it grew a little bit, and I tried to put it in the ground, and then it ends up dying. I don't know exactly how, is it a certain time of the year, or what it is that you do. Yes.
Like you mentioned, some vines, mm-hmm. like you mentioned, you can cut part of it off, but you can help it to reproduce roots.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be the same thing with us. Something can be cut off, but if we help it to reproduce the strong roots, mm-hmm. it can be spliced back into the vine or back into the tree or whatever it may be,
okay.
and help it to grow. And sometimes with people, that is necessary
mm-hmm.
to just cut them off and re-help them to form those roots that they need. I'm not saying just leave the people on their own once they cut off.
Right.
Help them to realize what's going on and help them reform stronger roots and then have them come back into the body.
Yeah. That's, I think, where they get the term from babes in Christ, where they need to more attention than others that have been in Christ, that they can be able to line you with them and help nurturing them and keep an eye on them to make sure they don't fall back, yeah. and it helps them to grow. Yes.
In doing this, in helping them to grow, like you said, we have to be in the Word ourselves to help them
exactly.
grow.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell them what I feel.
Right.
I have to get the grow and show them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I have to ask God to help me, to help this plant.
Right.
You know, if it's God's will, it might not be his will that you help cultivate that plant.
Mm-hmm.
That might not be a plant that God wants. So like Judas said, you back off.
Yeah.
And then you ask God, well, what shall I do? because the person keep resisting, what should I do? Mm-hmm. Should I keep trying to make it grow? Like you say, you know, some plants are not going to grow.
Right.
And that's where you have to ask God, wait, is this a plant for you? Is this a plant for you?
Mm-hmm.
Show me.
Right.
And leave it alone. And I'm seeing from God to see if, because all plants that we're trying to grow,
it won't take too long.
That's not God's plant.
Yeah.
And you know, we want it to be God's plant.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you have to stay in that word.
Right.
And we can't be scared. I think that's why we probably don't go out or talk as much, you know, about God. There's so much negative, you know, about God. And if people got their own thinking of God, I'm trying to show you, but you want to do your own thing.
But that's our job. We have to be the example to continuously show what.
But don't you get frustrated sometimes?
Oh, it's a frustrating job. It's a frustrating work.
That's why you say, Lord, please help me, because I can't,
this,
oh,
I,
not today.
But
please
look,
help me, Lord.
This is, this. I saw this saying somewhere one time, that's why they call it work.
Yes.
That's why. Yes. Go ahead.
I've seen it happen both ways, where a member has been cut off from the congregation, where the elders have come to them and said, you know, let's talk about it, see why this has happened. And I've seen people come back a whole lot stronger than what they were before.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also seen it happen to where that person just didn't want to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't want to listen, then you back off.
Right.
Because that is kind of where God's telling you, this is not a plan I want in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when somebody is teaching error within your congregation.
Mm-hmm.
The elder's responsibility is to cut them off.
Right.
And if it's possible, change their minds and maybe help them to come back. But if that person don't want to listen, you're going to be staying cut off.
That's true. That's true. We have to distinguish between that. And it's our purpose, as you were saying, that's our job, is to nurture, to teach, to show, to encourage. But if they don't, we have to back off on them. But still, we have to treat them with respect, treat them with love, because it's always a possibility that they will come back. It may come back. It may take a while, along with the examples of what we know about all the opposition. And in the days where there's so much, you know, the Lord used the example of planting seed in different types of soil, but that's just to get it to sprout up.
Mm-hmm.
But it still holds true with the example of a plant that's already out of the soil and up.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to nurture them into being strong plants to reproduce too, so they can go out and reproduce. And they're meeting so much opposition because in today's world, everything that's out there is opposition. Mm-hmm. You know, you see it on the TV, you hear it on the radio, you go anywhere, you walk. You can just look around and see how people live. You can't get away from it. So you got to continuously strengthen them. As you said, we have to stay in the Word. We have to teach them to stay in the Word also and keep enforcing it with them, but not to the point where you cramming it down their throat, because that's going to make a person go away from it completely. Yes.
You were talking about not being afraid. My first day at the Prince George, when I walked in the office, the first one to walk through the door, the guy who was cleaning the office led me into the office. Mm-hmm. I walked in my office and stuff like that. He introduced himself and stuff. And he says, ask me, how you doing today? He says, I'm doing great.
Mm-hmm.
You know why I'm doing great? Because God blesses me.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know me from Adam.
Yes, sir.
Right.
He was bold and upfront.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't hesitate one bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank you for that. I thank you for that, because mm-hmm. that boldness is hard to find in this world and age.
Yeah.
And it made my day right then and there. Yeah. And it's going to be a good day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why, just like you said, we need to not be afraid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be bold about it.
Okay.
I ran into the same situation at the airport. being in the restaurant eating, and we had a really friendly server and all. And when we left, I said, I hope you have a blessed day. And he looked at the rest of us sitting at the table, and he said, this lady just made my day. And I looked at him, you know, and he goes, she blessed me today.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned right around and he said, and I'm blessing your day as well. Mm-hmm. If people would be more honest like this, I think you would get a whole lot, first of all, a whole lot better response.
Mm-hmm.
But it also makes people think, you know.
That's the impact.
But where do blessings come from? You know, they're not coming from me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you know, even on telephone conversations, we always say, have a good day. Why can't we say, have a blessed day?
Right. That's the impact that we can have on people. As I said before, when we go out, we sometimes think that we have to do so much,
mm-hmm.
you know, like trying to remember a whole lot of scriptures, book, chapter, and verse. We got to almost preach a sermon to somebody. It's not so much that we have to do that. To spread the word of the Lord, to plant the seed, is to have the impact on people, is to say, have a blessed day, or say, God bless you. Or, you know, you can say, tell someone that, yes, I'm blessed, and you show it within yourself, which that already lets a person know how you carry yourself, how you act. That sets you apart from other people. You know, you walk in a place, especially if you place of work is an example, because most of a lot of people go to work, but you know, most people, you go to work, someone's going to come in and maybe feeling a little down, and they want to tell a dirty joke to make everybody laugh, you know. But why you can't say, you know, as the brother always said, Happy Lord's Day. You know, that lets people know exactly where you're coming from, where you stand, and then they're going to look at you like, why he said that. And then they're going to pay more attention to you because they want to see how do you act.
Mm-hmm.
And then the door is open, how you carry yourself. And that impact which you have on people is the same way. That's your example of how you live to show the Lord, to you spreading the word of the Lord in your example. Because you can go around all day long and tell everybody, bless you, bless you, bless you, Happy Lord's Day, do this, that. And you can be the biggest devil and acting like the biggest devil. And people are going to look more at what you do than what you say.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So this is what we do. I ran out of time a little bit. But the main thing, I hope we did get that point out this morning, of the fact that we are the branches. Mm-hmm. We're bearing, we are doing the work to bear fruit, to reproduce,
mm-hmm.
and to bring about more fruit. And we know that the Lord, that Christ is divine, mm-hmm. which we draw all strength from Him. And God is the gardener, the pruner. And He does correct us, He does prune us, He does take away the unnecessary part. If we're not doing what we need to do, or if we're going astray, He will get us back in the line. So hopefully we get some out. Yes, got enough point.
What I was going to say is to act responsible and to spread the word. You may reap fruit that you never even know or meet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it is so important, you know. And also not let yourself get discouraged because, and I've been there.
Oh, yeah.
Thinking I have given my all and it's just not working out, you mm-hmm. know. But I don't know what's going to happen like maybe 10 years down the road in that person's life. That maybe something I said will finally click, you know.
Right.
And so my thing is don't ever get discouraged to put out the word.
Right.
No matter how a person responds at the moment, you don't know what happens down the road.
9 times out of 10, the response that we are looking for, we're not going to get it. We're not going to see it. But as long as we plant the seed, because that's the only thing we're supposed to be doing is planting the seed. Telling people about Christ is planting the seed. But showing them about Christ in the way in which you carry yourself is also planting the seed. So we are constantly being watched, as you said. It could be someone way across the other aisle, or, you know, your neighbor that lives down the street from you that sees you. And you know, someone was asking, what can you say about that person? Oh, they, They're nice people, you know. Well,
I'm a Christian today because a lady invited me to come to the church in mm-hmm. Oakwell. She took me to church that Sunday. She never came back to that church. I never had any opportunity to thank her for bringing me. Mm-hmm. She don't know I became a Christian.
Well, she did her job.
She did her job.
Yes.
And I wish I could get a hold. I've been searching for her high and low everywhere to just tell her thank you. But that's why I'm saying you may plan something by something you said or by inviting somebody, and you never know
mm-hmm.
what you have accomplished.
That's what we're here for. That's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Well, thank y'all for your comments.
Thank you.
Thank you, Wesley. That was a good lesson.
Couldn't have did it without you all.